Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. I am Paul Gallant. As you can tell, it is just me again today. Vanessa Richardson's back in Indianapolis with her family. Some, obviously, more troubles with her father. And we'll keep you posted on everything. But in the meantime, again, and you guys have been fantastic with this all of this past week. Keep her in your thoughts. Keep her family in your thoughts. It's got to be an incredibly difficult time for her to be going through. I know that her dad's her best friend. So, anyway, just wanted to throw that out there at the top of the show. You're stuck with just me for the entirety of our two-hour mid-afternoon delight of a program. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Looking spiffy. Love the new Twitch look that Brandon Strange and all of our guys at the Culture Map side of things put together. Looking really, really good. Last night, we saw a pretty good national championship game, huh? Didn't start out that way. I went to Porch Swing Pub with my friends. 50 Cent Wing, I've never heard of that. Fantastic. Watching it with my friends. And I thought to myself, you know what? This game kind of sucks. Because Kansas is up by 16 points. Because Kansas at halftime was up 40-25. But the Kansas Jayhawks, Bill Self, they rallied. And they ultimately ended up winning in, I thought, a fantastic finish to the game. 72-69, giving Bill Self his second ever national title. Here's how the game sounded at the very end. Jim Nantz, give me some schmaltz.
Down on Manek, and here we go. Manek circling around, slipped underneath. They go to Love. Love's going to be the one to take it. Puts up the shot. It's off! The game is over, and Kansas completes the biggest championship comeback all time.
The biggest title comeback ever. In fact, the last comeback on the same wavelength, 15 points, was in 1963. Loyola Chicago, Sister Jean, probably like 50 then, and the whatever the hell their team name is, took down Cincinnati in that national title. I couldn't believe that this was the biggest comeback, and it really didn't feel like that much of a comeback because of the way that things started in the second half. I mean, at halftime, it really seemed like things were going UNC's way. Did you see Hubie Davis coming out of the first half and into the second half? Hubie Davis was extremely excited going into the second half. Here's a little courtside interview that he did with Tracy Wolfson.
We're competing out there. It's live action, Tracy. It's live action out there. I thought we were nervous at the beginning. Then we started to settle in. We got better defensively. Now we're attacking a basket. We're ready to go.
Are you okay with how Baycott is right now?
He's doing terrific. I'm so proud of him. I told you, 52%. Him on the floor is good news for Carolina basketball.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tracy.
Oh, boy. I mean, now that just looks awful. I feel bad for Hubie Davis. I mean, it's his first time in the national championship game, but it's the second time this NCAA tournament where UNC's been up big, and I mean, good God, holding on for their dear life at the end, and they weren't able to do it this time. Against Baylor, obviously, they did. And honestly, they didn't have any business holding on in that Baylor game, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know what Hubie Davis should have been doing. thinking about baseball players, thinking about his grandma, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. And a little premature celebration right there. Right after halftime, Kansas goes on a 12-1 run. It's a game the rest of the way. So I guess you could say that this was a fantastic comeback. Sean Mapes behind the glass put into our show rundown the question, like, does UNC feel bad here? What do you do? I mean, it's one of those games where they did not belong in the national title. They still beat Duke, but you had the biggest choke job, if we're going to look at it from the other side of things, in NCAA title game history. And that takes place. I mean, how do you come back from that? If you're a fan, you're feeling good still. If you're a UNC fan, you killed Coach Mike Krzyzewski. You killed Coach K. But, oh boy, this is a tough one. I feel like you're feeling worse if you're a UNC fan than you're feeling excited if you're a Kansas fan today. If you're a Kansas fan, you're feeling great. I mean, it's the second title for Bill Self. Bill Self puts himself in rare conversations. There's only been two others that are active that have multiple NCAA titles. It's Rick Pitino, who has two, one with Kentucky, one with Louisville, and it's Jay Wright recently with Villanova. And we were having that conversation yesterday. Hey, who's the most powerful coach in the world of sports? All right, Bill Self can put himself into that conversation with just how consistent Kansas is every single season. Now you get back-to-back Big 12 national champs. He's doing a pretty damn good job if he's able to be in firm command of that conference, which also features a Baylor team that, again, I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. It's a shame for them that the way they started off the way that they did against UNC in that game. But, I mean, you know, that's a hell of a team, too. So, Kansas is your national champion. Bill Self, one of the best coaches in college sports, in all sports today. And I have a question for you, and you can answer it. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. What's the greatest sports comeback of all time? I'm not going to put this one into that conversation because it really didn't feel like a comeback because of how quickly Kansas got back in the game in the second half. But what's number one for you? I put this out on Twitter. @Gallant says you can answer there. You can also answer again. Phone line, text line as well. A lot of people are bringing up a certain game that I just don't recognize as a Houston loss. No, not anymore. Oh, Paul, well, I mean, the Houston Oilers lost 35-3 to the Buffalo Bills. Shut up. That didn't happen. Did not happen.
It's the Tennessee Titans that lost that one.
Thank you very much, Sean Mapes. That is a Tennessee loss. You know, one of the good things about Bud Adams and that family stealing away the Oilers from town is that they kept the history of the team. The 35-3 choke job of the Houston Oilers doesn't belong to us anymore. It didn't happen. It happened in Tennessee, as far as I'm concerned. You're going to bring back random Oilers from time to time to honor at wherever the hell the Titans play, Nissan Stadium or something? Well, okay, fine. But you also got to hold that 35-3L unless you give us your Oilers uniforms back. How about that? I feel like this is the first time that I could potentially strong-arm the Tennessee Titans into giving the Oilers their history back. It didn't come to me until today. That's a Tennessee loss. Didn't happen here. Nope. No. Could not have happened here. Other good comebacks that took place in Houston. Well, you've also got the 28-3 comeback, the greatest comeback of all time. That's it. New England Patriots down 28-3 to the Atlanta Falcons at NRG Stadium. Brady leads them back. Amazing. It's got to be that one. I don't remember what happened that night. So it was a good night. I remember there were several times watching this game with a bunch of my friends. And for the most part, my group of friends here in town, they're Aggies. And they were saying very, very mean things over the course of the broadcast. And I just held it to myself because I thought to myself, what the hell am I going to say as a Patriots fan watching this team lose? And then they score a touchdown. It's 28-9, and they missed the extra point. And I remember I went to the bathroom because I was like, oh, okay, well, this is just a sign. Washed my face, and I was so close to leaving. I almost left. I should have been smote if I stepped foot out of that door and didn't stay for the remainder of it. Stayed for the remainder of it, said a lot of mean things to Aggies along the way, and yeah, there you go. Because the Patriots have won things, and the Aggies haven't. Sorry, Aggies. Shouldn't have been mean to me. Anyway, what else you got? 713-780-3776. You've also got Tracy McGrady. What he did against the San Antonio Spurs in 2004. If I'm not mistaken, they were down 8 points, and with 33 seconds left, Tracy McGrady scored 13 points the rest of the way. Not too shabby. Not too shabby at all. You have the comeback that the Boston Red Sox had against the New York Yankees in the World Series. I think you could definitely make a case, too. Although it was aided by LeBron James getting teabagged by Draymond Green. But, I mean, you know, that Golden State Warriors team was pretty damn good. And they were up 3-1 on the Cleveland Cavaliers. That one's a hard one to get over, too. I mean, they should have won that one. Someone was trying to troll me. They tweeted a picture of the David Tyree catch and the Plaxico Burress touchdown. This Super Bowl where the Patriots were up 14-10 at that point in time. It was a 4-point comeback. Let's relax on that. Let's not be mean. Let's not be bullies online. But that's the thing that you should learn today. The loss of the Houston Oilers, 35-3, to the Buffalo Bills, that is a Tennessee Oilers loss. They are the Tennessee Oilers now, until otherwise stated. I do want to have the Oilers uniforms back. They're sexy. They're so much better than the Texans ones. I mean, the Texans have had the same look essentially since their inception. Can we please, for the love of God, get something new? Something a little bit more spruced up? A little more jazzy? Is that too much to ask? Oh, well, guess what, guys? We have a logo on the back of our jersey in addition to on the front. And now our collar is even more thick for some reason. Kind of looks like a slash neck. No big deal. It's fine. But come on, do something different. Well, we have Battle Red Day, Paul. Well, okay. It's fine. But I would like a little more options. How about just ripping off the Oilers uniforms with the same deep steel blue and the same Battle Red, but you just give them the exact same helmet that the Oilers used to have. Red face mask, same stripes, and it's just the Texans logo on the side. How about that? Because now you look kind of like the Titans, because the Titans changed their helmet to blue. I mean, you have, I thought, pretty good helmets the Titans did for a little bit of time. And they just bail out of them for this awful look with like a weird sword stripe down the middle. Anyway, too much uniform talk, huh? 713-780-3776. We're going to keep that conversation on the table all day. As Kansas is your national champions in college basketball after rallying from down 40-25 at halftime, 16 points with 2 minutes to go in the first half to beat UNC 72-69. Bill Self's second national championship. Congrats to all the KU fans out there. And especially a congratulations from one Mark Emmert. Mark Emmert, at the microphone. Come on, bro. He didn't screw up just once. He screwed up twice. Mark Emmert, fall on your face, sir.
And here to present the trophy is the head of the basketball committee, Tom Burnett, to Coach Self and the Kansas City Jayhawks. University of Kansas Jayhawks.
Oh, boy. He messed it up twice there. So, first off, Kansas City Jayhawks. Mark Emmert, you're not a professional sports league person. You're not a commissioner. It's college basketball. That's all you're supposed to know. Kansas City Jayhawks. And then he says afterwards, he said University of Kansas, which is also erroneous. No, it's Kansas University. They get pissed off if you do it the wrong way. They're not UK like Kentucky. They are KU. Big deal. You don't say TU with UT. KU. Jeez, it's not surprising with Mark Emmert. Thank goodness for Mark Emmert that he has a great head of hair, because everyone seems to hate him for a lot of, I think, very, very justified reasons. How do you butcher that? You really have one job. Like, you're just handing the trophy over and the microphone over to the people who have won the national title. You just have to get the name right. It's not like you're about to go on concert somewhere where, thank you, Cleveland. We're in Detroit. Thank you, Detroit. It's not like that where, hey, at the very least, you're doing something afterwards. You're probably more focused on the concert that you're about to throw. That's all you had to do. The one thing to either say, congratulations to Kansas University, congratulations to the University of North Carolina. That's all you had to do. You had the entire game to do it. Maybe you got lubed up. I don't know. I'm Paul Gallant. No Vanessa today. Keep her in your thoughts. She's back in Indianapolis with her family. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. What's the greatest comeback of all time? A trade took place in the NFL yesterday that should have Nick Caserio making a cold call yesterday as well. We'll talk about that next right here. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's back in Indianapolis with her family. Send her your best, as you guys have been. You've been fantastic. You know, when you do a radio show and you're with somebody every single day, it does sort of become a weird family. And Vanessa's been fantastic hanging out with and talking with every single day the first couple of months of this show. And in my thoughts, hopefully in your thoughts, and looking forward to getting her back. But for now, back in Indianapolis with her family, and we'll keep you posted on everything going on there. And again, hopefully she's going to be back with me soon. 713-780-3776. The question of today's show, best comeback in sports history. What's number one? Got a couple on the text line, 713-780-ESPN. The 2015 Rockets comeback, game six against the Clippers. And I'm glad that this texter clarified. Josh Smith and Corey Brewer, the ones that led it. For all of those loser Rocket fans out there that still have fond feelings for James Harden, just remember, that's probably the most iconic victory that the Rockets had over the past decade, right? I mean, yeah, they also had that Game 5 victory over the Golden State Warriors to take the 3-2 lead in 2018 before they lost Game 6 and they lost Game 7. But this, that comeback against the Los Angeles Clippers with James Harden largely on the bench is, of the last decade, the most significant thing that the Rockets did. It is. They played the Warriors tough, but, I mean, we don't give out participation trophies here. And James Harden was on the bench for it. That's all you need to remember about the guy. If you're one of those stooges who still idolizes him, I don't know what's wrong with you. I really don't. I lost respect for you as a sports fan. I lose respect for you as a man. I lose respect for you as a woman. I lose respect for whatever you identify yourself with. If you are still a James Harden person, I'm sorry. Something is wrong with you and you need therapy now. Oh, Paul, you should see therapists too. See, I go to therapy. You should go too. James Harden left you. He's never coming back. And now he's just going to blow it for yet another team and then probably get Doc Rivers fired at the end of the season. Watch that happen. Sean, you were telling me before the show that it sounds like there's rumors that Doc Rivers might be going elsewhere to coach already.
Yes, the rumor I saw was that he is linked to the Lakers and Jazz jobs, which is hilarious because he still has a job on the 3 seed or 4 seed in the East.
It's incredible.
All those jobs are filled. All those jobs are filled still. And the first report isn't that any of those coaches are going to be fired. It's the musical chairs.
It's Doc Rivers going to be gone. And look, I saw this tweet out from @StanfordKP, who's a pretty good Rockets follow on Rockets Twitter. One of the less crazy ones that are still obsessed with the scent of James Harden's hair. But he tweeted out that, couldn't you see, Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni, it's the triumvirate again with James Harden. And don't you do that too in case James Harden potentially doesn't want to sign an extension? Because that's the leverage Harden has this offseason. I don't like Doc Rivers. And look at that. Doc Rivers says that, yeah, it was James Harden's fault down the stretch in the game. Doc, you're gone. I mean, you may as well just like prepare for the end. Put your house up for sale. Another text, great sports comebacks. I forgot about this one, damn. 713-780-ESPN. I heard UNC had Bill O'Brien give them the halftime pep talk he gave the Texans against the Chiefs. Oh, yeah, that happened. Did, you know, I mean, it was so... I watched it from afar, and, you know, I actually was getting excited. I thought to myself, wow, I mean, they're actually doing it. This is great. You know, I'm not covering the team anymore, but good for everybody in H-Town. And then, I mean, God, that just escalated so damn quickly.
They blew the lead before halftime.
I know.
The Chiefs led at halftime.
I mean,
in the game, they're down 3 touchdowns.
What was the halftime pep talk like? Well, damn it. So, what you guys want to do this offseason? We're screwed. How many games do you think I'm going to last next year, guys? 2, 3, 4 was the correct answer. So, keep that conversation going. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Dustin calling in. Dustin, what's up?
So as much as it pains me to talk about it, Buffalo Bills versus the Houston Oilers.
The Tennessee Oilers. That was a Tennessee loss, Dustin. It's not a Houston loss anymore. I am making this proclamation today. April 5th, 2022, the Oilers' history belongs in Tennessee, so that loss belongs to Tennessee. Come on, let's all join in here. The Titans, noted loser franchise that continuously blows one seed. We're going to forget about how the Texans struggle. The Titans own that L. It is theirs. It is theirs for all time. We are not owning it anymore, okay? Forget it. Exercise it. It is done, Dustin.
Well, you know, I owned those tears that day, so it still sticks with me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I'm sorry, Dustin. Sorry for bringing up the hard memories.
Good day, sir.
You too, Dustin. Thank you, man. Look, come on. And Kansas's comeback, I don't qualify as a comeback, because even though technically it is, I mean, it was a 12-1 run in the second half. Like, Hubie, put away your pants tent that you clearly had when you were talking to Wolfson at halftime, where he's like, yeah, yeah, like, calm down, less pre-workout, less cocaine or whatever you're doing, and relax, call the timeout. It was a 12-1 run right out of the at the beginning of the second half. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Jacob calling in about comebacks. Jacob, what's up?
Hey, yes, I was wanting to talk about Cardinals-Rangers. Rangers had that World Series and Cardinals-Davis Freeze came through.
I like the cut of your jib, Jacob. That's a good one. Remember when the ball went over Nelson Cruz's head? Whoops. That was hilarious. That was fantastic. Yeah, forgot and appreciate the phone call, Jacob. You forget that the Rangers actually did have a good couple of years and then just completely faded back into irrelevance. It was fantastic. I remember in 2015, that was when the changing of the guard sort of took place, and there were a couple of Astros-Rangers games, and there was actually some animosity between the two, and then the Rangers just stopped mattering completely. I guess, though, we'll see this year, now that they spend a lot of money, if that's going to be the same case. So, yesterday there was a trade in the NFL, and it does somewhat affect the Texans. I think that Nick Caserio should be paying attention. I doubt that he's not paying attention. But the Saints performed a rather confusing trade with the Philadelphia Eagles that I do think makes sense for both teams. The Saints have traded for two of the Eagles' picks in this coming draft. The Eagles have picked 16 and 19. They also sent Philadelphia a sixth-round pick. To do so, they traded this year's 18th pick, a third-round pick this year, a seventh-round pick as well, plus a first-round pick in 2023 and a second-round pick in 2024. So the Saints are basically loading up on first-round draft picks. I think that that leads you to believe, it should lead you to believe, that they are looking to load up on picks to potentially trade up and draft a quarterback in this year's draft, or they are looking for the most possible talent that they can get right now because, of course, their cap situation is what it is. And who knows what the Saints would be with Jameis Winston healthy for a whole season. I feel like with the way that they looked in the first half of the year, that is a playoff team, but not a really serious playoff team to be taken seriously. But maybe they package those picks and they decide to trade a little bit further up. And look, I get the Saints' logic here from this perspective. Oh, well, you're mortgaging the future for the now. Well, also think about this. Whenever Sean Payton gets his next job as head coach, because he will be hired again, I doubt he's going to spend a long time out of the NFL. I bet he's the Dallas Cowboys coach, in fact, at the beginning of the 2023 season. The Saints will get some compensation for Sean Payton because he retired and he's still under contract with New Orleans. So I think it's actually a really brilliant move by New Orleans. You are trading picks down the road that you're probably going to get back for more picks right now. And for Philadelphia, you already had pick 15, so you have two first-round picks this year still. You have two next year in a supposedly better draft class. You have two second-round picks in 2024. Five firsts, four second-round picks through 2024. So the Eagles are loading up on picks. We'll see what that actually gets them. You still have to hit the picks. I think sometimes we look at these trades and we're like, yeah, congratulations. Well, again, hit the picks. You know, sometimes I would go back to Tennessee trading out of an early spot. I think this was after they had gotten Marcus Mariota. They weren't very good the next year. Maybe it was before. One year or the other. But they didn't do much with the picks that they got. I think they got like a Dory Jackson and Corey Davis. Corey Davis is no longer with them, and a Dory Jackson, I don't even know where he is. Neither of them really lived up to the snuff. But Nick Caserio should be making a phone call. And I don't know how many of y'all are experts with cold call lists. I actually went online, Googled ways to prepare for your cold call. Research, whatever. Lame. Write an outline of what you want to say. Nope, not going to do that either. Too much work. Steal cold calling scripts. Now that is a good idea. Introduction. Hello, it's me, Nick Caserio. Connecting statement. Hi, the NFL draft is coming up. Am I right? Third, qualifying. Well, okay, let's take a look at some of the teams that are picking after the Houston Texans in the draft. You got the Jets. You think the Jets are looking at quarterback? They should be looking at quarterback. That's your qualifier, right? Hey, New York. Zach Wilson. Kind of looks like a pee pants. I don't think he's going to last. Mormon, New York City. That's doomed to fail. So, you know, maybe you want to trade up to number three. because we've been hearing from the New York Giants. We've been hearing from a couple other teams. How would you do a cold call if you're Nick Caserio, 713-780-3776, plus best comebacks in sports history? Coming up next, if only baseball had had this technology in place a couple of years ago, we wouldn't have to deal with so many haters. We'll tell you what that is next right here. I'm Paul Gallant. No, Vanessa, she's up in Indy with her family. Send her your best wishes. It is Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
No, Vanessa today. She's back up in Indianapolis with her family, and we're sending her family, our best wishes. It's just Sean Mapes and me, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Question of today's show, who had the best comeback in sports history? And I looked at my shirt just now, and I remembered that I saw one of them. So this shirt that I'm wearing right now, you can see at twitch.tv/ESPN975. It's a Texas shirt. It's a I Horn LA shirt. So it's, I guess, like supposed to be an I Love LA shirt. I got this shirt at the UT bar in Los Angeles because I was there with my best friend, Brad, in early October for the Red River Shootout. We get there at 9 in the morning. Texas is just kicking ass from the get-go. I don't remember what the score was when things all of a sudden changed, but I do remember how quiet the bar got. It was quite depressing. All y'all boomers out there, hope you're happy. I was in that bar from 9 in the morning to midnight. My stomach hurt so bad the next day. I had so many chips, so many, I believe, Pacificos, and my bar tab terrified me. Like, I didn't want to look at my credit card. Didn't even want to log in to see what it was for, I think, a good 2 weeks to see what the actual final damage was. It was a long couple of days. And that comeback was depressing. And I tend to lean with UT on things because my two best friends here are UT fans. I know that makes some Aggies mad because I do have a lot of Aggie friends too. Just saying how it is. I could root for both teams to have fun. No, I wouldn't do that. Anyway, we saw today that baseball is incorporating something that could have helped the Houston Astros out and everyone in baseball out. It would have made the game faster, in fact. MLB is expected to give teams a go-ahead for players to deploy what is referred to within the industry as PitchCom. Using a pad with buttons, ooh, that sounds fancy, it's like Star Trek, on the wrist of the gloved hand, a catcher can signal pitches, pitch type and location, directly to the pitcher through a listening device. Up to three teammates of the pitcher and catcher will also have access to the signals, aiding fielders in positioning. They've been using it this spring, and apparently people have really liked it. Forget the Astros thing and all across baseball, the cheating that was going on. I am so thankful that there might be something that'll speed things up. Because is there nothing more infuriating watching some pitcher who's got like a 4 or a 5 ERA come into a game, shake off signs, adjust his balls, spit out some dip, blow a bit of bubble gum. The 50 seconds between pitches that will take place when a game gets later for some reliever who comes in for 5 seconds because he's left-handed. Luckily, they got rid of that where the 3-batter rule is now in effect. Nothing used to make me more angry. And then you have the batter stepping out of the batter's box to do the exact same thing, to adjust their cup, all what or whatever else they might do. I hate that. So this is going to speed up the game. The other good thing is, and this is something that I remember learning from Lance McCullers. If you go back to Game 7 of the 2017 World Series between the Dodgers and the Astros, you'll notice that there was a ton of wild pitches at first in that game. And most people will tell you that that was because, and Lance McCullers said that, like, we were so paranoid about the Dodgers stealing our signs that things were getting crossed up. There was confusion, a lack of communication. And then you saw, of course, what happened. This is, I think, a fantastic idea to implement. And baseball's not known for doing it, so you got to pat them on the back when they do it. You got to give them the carrot so they keep doing things like this. Technology is not bad for the game. This is going to speed things up, and it's also going to hopefully lead to an end of everyone being paranoid like it's the Cold War. It's the United States and Russia trying to keep nuclear secrets away from each other, trying to get to the moon first. That's what baseball's become of late. The Astros, the scapegoat, I think we all agree, yes, they did something, but they've probably been punished a little bit more than some of the other teams. The Red Sox, who definitely did something, the Yankees, who definitely did something. We'll see what they actually did when that letter is unsealed. I think it's fair to make allegations against the Dodgers, the Texas Rangers, where Carlos Beltran was. Speaking of Carlos Beltran, he was on with the Yes Network yesterday. That interview was officially aired, and this is Beltran talking about how, yeah, someone should have stopped us. We were so good at cheating that, you know, we weren't going to stop. So why didn't anybody step in? Here he is on the Yes Network with Michael Kay.
Nobody say anything to us. You know, nobody say anything. I wish somebody would have said something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people always ask me why you didn't stop it. And my answer is, I didn't stop it the same way no one stopped it.
Right.
Because it's working for us. Why are you going to stop something that is working for you?
Right.
So if the organization would have said something to us, we would have stopped it for sure.
Michael Kay offering real, real hard-hitting questions there. Yeah. Yeah. No follow-up at all there? How about the report about how people were a little intimidated by Carlos Beltran's voice in the Astros clubhouse?
AJ Hinch breaking TVs?
Yeah. Brian McCann saying the same thing Sean Mapes behind the glass? People did talk about it, and it is something else. I mean, look, there's a part of me that is thankful for Beltran's place on this team. While he didn't play very well, I do think that he helped them basically completely ruin. Who was that pitcher for the Dodgers who they stole the sign, who basically was tipping his pitches?
Yu Darvish?
Yu Darvish, yeah. Like, they ruined Yu Darvish's career. And I know, sign stealing? No, from the sound of things, Yu Darvish was one that tipped his pitches a whole lot, and Carlos Beltran really cracked it. Maybe there was something going on in the World Series that Beltran helped with. I'm not going to lie. I'm happy they won the World Series, cheating or no cheating. They didn't take the title away, and you know what? You know what? How a real villain carries himself after a title like this is won? You say, yeah, we got away with cheating. Sucks to be you. Because it makes them even more angry. You don't need to be this moral, upstanding person. Because you know you're never going to change that person's mind. Lean with it. Say, yeah, the Astros cheated. We got a title. You don't. Sucks to be you. Losers. Maybe you should have tried cheating. Seriously, do it. I grew up a Patriots fan. That's what we do. At least the good ones, not the paranoid ones that feel like they need to be liked by everybody. Own it. And then talk trash to people. They didn't steal it from us. Sucks to be you. Loser. We got away with it. Because Rob Manfred just thinks it's a piece of metal. Anyway, Beltran saying all of those things. It is annoying. I mean, we all have friends who do things that we look at and we're like, what are you doing, man? And sometimes they actually listen and they reconsider what they're doing. But do you need to tell somebody that they're doing something that's potentially wrong to get them to stop? Should that actually have to be the case? Well, no one's tried to stop us. Well, maybe you should have thought to yourself, this is getting a little out of hand. Maybe we're going to get caught. This is going to change the way people perceive us. Maybe I'll get fired after 0 days on the job as Mets manager. And that's what happened to Carlos Beltran. I'm glad we finally have an ally in this fight, because there have been so many people whining about the Astros. Well, the Astros cheated us. And you would think that somebody who is 0-5 against the Houston Astros since 2017 in the playoffs, you would think that that person, with his team having that record against the Astros, would hate them and would consider them a thief, someone who stole away a title or their legacy. Chris Sale of the Boston Red Sox. He pitched against the Astros twice in 2017, shelled. Pitched against them once in the 2018 playoffs, lost. Chased by the Astros last postseason in 2 games. Red Sox-Astros, actually been a pretty good American League rivalry over the past half decade. Red Sox have a title, Astros have a title. And yet here's Chris Sale on WEEI, the Greg Hill Show, yesterday, being asked about sign stealing, the epidemic that it's been in baseball.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to give you my honest opinion. If the Astros were the only team doing it, then yeah, you know, take it back. I know for a fact they weren't. So all these people pointing fingers. Well, hey, take a check in the mirror real quick. You know, make sure that you and your team weren't doing something. And what they did was wrong. And I'm not trying to condone it, but, I mean, shoot, we're talking 5 years ago now, and we're still talking about this stuff. I'd like to kind of turn the page on it, but, you know, it happened. They dealt with it. There's nothing you can really do about it now, sitting here where we are. So you just kind of move on from it.
I know for a fact other teams were doing it. Yep, the Red Sox were, in a way. Different, of course, but the Yankees were. Those three teams were doing it. And the amount of bitching and moaning that the Yankees have done is really just a sad, sad example of what they've become, which is losers. The Yankees are a loser franchise now. This is what they are. They are the second fiddle to the Boston Red Sox, their longtime little brother in the American League East. Who knows if they'll even be better than the Toronto Blue Jays this coming season with all the Blue Jays have done. And I think that Chris Sale is someone that we should, I think, appreciate a little bit more. Obviously because he helps the Astros out so much. I mean, you are so giving every single time Chris Sale, he's on the mound. But you know, I like him because he is one of the few pitchers in baseball that doesn't take an hour between pitches. He's really quick with his delivery. I mean, you see a Chris Sale start, that game's going to go by pretty quickly. And I also feel like people are discriminatory towards skinny athletes. Does Chris Sale have an ass? No. But people don't like Chris Sale because he's skinny. People didn't like Steph Curry. Why? If you ask the average basketball player across the NBA, I think that a lot of it has to do with his body type and about the way that he plays. And they're like, oh, how is he so much better than everybody? Here's this little skinny guy that's just bombing threes from outside. People hate the skinnies, and we skinnies need to stand up. We're people too. Oh, you can be fat and play baseball, and it's fine. Well, what about being skinny and playing baseball? So anyway, I'm Team Chris Sale, especially going forward. He is an ally of the Houston Astros. I'm Paul Gallant. No Vanessa today. She's up in Indianapolis again with her family. We're wishing her the best. We'll keep you posted on everything going on up there. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. The question of today's show, best comeback in sports history, because the Kansas Jayhawks had a pretty impressive one yesterday. They just did it really quickly. Shoot, they were down 15 points at halftime, 12-1 run to open up the second half. That's nuts. That's crazy. It was a four-point game essentially in a couple of minutes. Hubie Davis, what are you doing? Up next, the Texans are supposedly thinking about trading somebody, a big part of their team. Should they? We'll talk about that next right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
No, Vanessa today, she's back up in Indianapolis with her family, and we're thinking about her and her family. We'll keep you posted on what's going on up there. Hopefully, we'll have her back, and hopefully everything will be all good on their end in the near future. Couple of texts. First off, in response to our last conversation, Not Santa tweets in, are you sure that you want Chris Sale as an ally? Because Chris Sale supposedly has a belly ring. He had to go to the hospital, in case you didn't know, during the 2018 ALCS against the Astros. This is at least what he said was the reason. I had irritation from a belly ring, just constantly taking it in and out, causing irritation, and got a rash down there. Had to take care of that. Doctors and nurses over at Mass General Hospital were awesome. I can concur. Saved my dad. Things happen, you handle them, and keep moving forward. But this is something that we have seen Chris Sale do from time to time to mess around with people, where after he broke his foot in 2015, he showed up to spring training and he told reporters it happened while he was delivering roundhouse kicks to the head of a home intruder. So I guess you have to take everything he says with a little bit of a grain of salt. He said it was a stomach thing more than it actually was a rash from a belly button ring in and out. So that's, listen, you gotta understand sarcasm from some people. Chris Sale might be a little bit of a crazy person. He was the one that, what, with scissors chopped up the Chicago White Sox uniforms? He's a pitcher. Pitchers are weird. They're different. But he's an ally. He is an ally of the Astros. He said the Astros, for a fact, were not the only team cheating. And yet they have been treated as such. So we embrace Chris Sale and we welcome him back to Minute Maid Park
where he will get shellacked next time he pitches, just based off of history in the playoffs. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Best comeback in sports history. A lot of people, again, bringing up the Houston Oilers, 35-3 over the Buffalo Bills. Nope, that is a Tennessee Oilers loss. That does not belong to the city of Houston. Historically, it never happened here. It belongs in a museum in Nashville. They're not going to give us our colors back? Fine, they can hold that L, the worst in NFL history. Kind of classic for the Tennessee Titans, a team that blows one seed like it's hot. Team that lost a Super Bowl by 1 yard. Losers. Maybe show up early against the St. Louis Rams back in 1999, huh? Nope. Couldn't do that. Losers. All right. One comeback for me. I missed a comeback that the New England Patriots had in 2002 because I left the stadium early. Why? Well, partly because my feet were cold. But the real reason was, and this is at least what I'm saying to my dying day, because I didn't tell anybody that my feet were cold, a drunk person fell on me. Here I am, 14 years old, watching the Patriots and Dolphins last game of the year. Ricky Williams, I think, had like 200 yards rushing in this game. And New England's down like 10 points with 2 minutes to play. You think the game's over, obviously. 11 points with 2 minutes to play, to be specific. A drunk guy just fell on me, just spills beer all over me. And it's just me and my dad at this game. It's a weird situation to be in, right? Like, what are you supposed to do? So my dad, like, went and he got security because the guy was absolutely tanked. Like, he puked all over the place, too. And here I am, like, just a small 14-year-old getting squashed by a drunk. So we left that game. But that's the last time I ever left a football game early. Thought about it before, but if I have a vested interest in that team, I don't leave early. I can't. You never know what's going to happen. Crazy things happen. You spend all this money. You're already here. You may as well stay to the end. Is beating traffic worth it that much? It's like 20 minutes extra, 30 minutes extra, or in some places an hour extra. Is that really worth it? I don't know. Sometimes stick around, see what the hell happens. Brandon Cooks might be on the trade block for the Houston Texans. We'll see how this plays out. But Aaron Wilson, formerly of the Chronicle, now with Pro Football Network, tweeted, "The Texans are regarded as unlikely to trade Brandon Cooks at this time per league sources, despite inquiries from NFL teams. Team held preliminary conversations this offseason about a potential extension. Should they change course, price of a trade is at least a second-round draft pick." Supposedly, the Cleveland Browns have called, and again, it's the Texans are wanting, at the very least, a second-round pick for him. Here's my question. What is more valuable to you as the Texans going forward? Brandon Cooks in the final year of his contract with a rookie quarterback, and this team does not have a lot of firepower, or a second-round pick? What's more valuable to you going forward? I think this is a no-brainer. It is much more valuable for you going forward to have Brandon Cooks. What is Brandon Cooks doing to you from a salary cap perspective that's harmful right now? I don't really think anything. You don't have many playmakers. If you really want to give Davis Mills a fair shot, don't you want to have him working with somebody that's actually good? That statistically has been one of the best receivers in the NFL over the last couple of years? I mean, he's definitely a top 30 guy. I think you have to make the argument. Maybe he's not a true number one wide receiver, but you have nothing skill position wise. You really don't have anything. Sure, you signed Marlon Mack. I mean, the guy tore his Achilles. Like, we haven't barely seen that guy at running back in a really long time, at least playing the way that he used to. That's why the Colts drafted Jonathan Taylor. So, I mean, you don't have any skill players. You need to keep Brandon Cooks. I don't like this idea of trading for picks just for the sake of trading for picks. It doesn't necessarily make you better off. But there are some out there who just love picks. Look at my voice cracking. Picks! Picks, everybody! Allergies. I'm blaming it on allergies, not a hard weekend. But some people want picks, and that's all they want. I feel like they forget sometimes that proven veteran players, even if they are expensive, are often more valuable than those picks. You have to hit on the picks. And sure, it would be great for the Texans to have another draft pick, but how many draft picks is enough? What is it the next 3 years in the first three rounds? 14 picks? I mean, you got a ton. Do you really need more when you have that many? I don't think you do. There's a certain point where you got to look at yourself in the mirror and realize, yeah, we need some draft picks. Excuse me, we need some players. And you don't have any players.
in a way, if Laremy Tunsil's happy here, I'm glad they didn't trade him. Because Laremy Tunsil, healthy, okay, you traded too much to get him with the two first-round picks. But a healthy Laremy Tunsil and an engaged Laremy Tunsil helps out a Davis Mills. If you want to give this guy a chance, which, again, I'm not expecting much out of him. My answer for young quarterbacks is always probably not. But if you want to give him the best chance to win, you got to give him guys around him. You can't just throw him out there with a bunch of replacement-level players. And if you're going to do that, I mean, I feel like you're just wasting your time. The guy's going to fail. He's going to look like David Carr did. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5. Vanessa is up in Indianapolis, and we're wishing her and her family the absolute best. There was one little side note, and this is just based off of things that I know from some of my sources. So I saw yesterday Aaron Reese has been doing a great job covering the Texans for The Athletic. He's moving to a different role. He's moving to an editor role, so he's going to be working like higher up the food chain with some of like the real names, which, you know what, good for him, because the Texans are not exactly the most, I would imagine, entertaining beat to cover, and obviously they're not the most clicked on, I would imagine, beat on The Athletic. But from what I know, from conversations I've had with some people at The Athletic, I don't think the Texans are going to have a beat guy this coming season. Isn't that sad? I mean, you're an NFL team, and Jeffrey Bezos is like, yeah, you're not worth my time. Nope. Although I guess Bezos doesn't own it anymore. I forget who owns it. They've been bought so many different times. But yeah, that's at least as far as I know right now, I don't think they're going to have a beat guy going into this coming season. So it's just going to be Brooks Kubina. John McClain retires. Brooks Kubina. Good for Brooks. I mean, look, the market shriveling up. You get to take everybody's following. And Sarah Barshop, that's it. Anyway, I'm Paul Gallant. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. Coming up next, if you're North Carolina, you had to have stopped that rally. Why didn't you? We'll talk about the big comeback victory that Kansas had in the national championships. The best comeback you've ever seen. What is it? 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us. No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.